1048DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. On February 8th, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments on the Colorado case over former President Trump's ballot eligibility. At the center of the dispute is the U.S. Constitution's insurrection clause. CBS News election law contributor David Becker.
In some ways, the Colorado Supreme Court ruling as it did was a gift because it gave the Supreme Court a way to rule on this sooner rather than later. And that's really important. It's important for a variety of reasons. It's important for the voters of the United States to know who they can vote for. It's important for the election officials who are trying to print ballots and figure out who's going to appear on those ballots. And lastly, it's important for the Republican Party to know whether or not they have a qualified candidate.
In a campaign speech in Pennsylvania, President Biden doesn't hold back, saying that former President Trump's campaign is all about him, not America, and that Trump and his supporters embrace political violence.
As we begin this election year, we must be clear, democracy is on the ballot. Your freedom is on the ballot.
Classes were canceled and grief counselors brought to Perry, Iowa today, a day after a sixth grader was killed and several others were injured in a school shooting. CBS's Nora O'Donnell.
The 11-year-old who was killed was identified as Amir Joliffe. The principal is among those wounded and he is credited with saving lives and he remains in critical condition. Two students are also still in the hospital.
A proposal to protect abortion in Florida has enough signatures to make it onto the ballot, but it still faces challenges from the state. CBS's Peter King.
Current law here bans abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Supporters of the proposed state constitutional amendment say they have well over the number of signatures necessary to put it before voters. Lauren Brenzel is with Floridians Protecting Freedom.
People do not want to see abortion bans. This is wildly unpopular policy.
But Florida's Republican Attorney General calls the proposal's language broad and open-ended. She's challenged it in the state Supreme Court, which is decidedly conservative. Oral arguments are set for February 7th. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
As predicted, after the holidays, more people are getting sick. WSB's Sabrina Cupid reports.
The CDC is saying there has been an 18% increase in people testing positive for flu last week. More than half the country now experiencing very high levels of sickness. Dr. Sherry Drenzik with the Georgia Department of Public Health says the main thing to remember.
If an individual has experienced symptoms of respiratory virus infection, they need to stay away from other people.
It's not just flu going around. Hospital admissions for COVID have jumped 20% in the last week, and more people are testing positive for RSV.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There are a ton of social networking.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he doesn't support efforts to keep Donald Trump off the presidential primary ballot in Wisconsin. The Democratic governor tells the Journal Sentinel that doing that would only anger the Republicans' base and justify Trump's claims the deck is stacked against him. 41 public schools in Milwaukee are tearing up playground asphalt and replacing it with trees and native plants. Kids get some relief on hot days.
There's often not very many areas of shade, if any, on these urban schoolyards. There's not a lot of things to naturally do.
Lisa Neeb is with Reflow, the nonprofit which is helping with the project. She says grades go up and behavior problems go down when kids have recess in more natural settings. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks beat the Spurs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a back-and-forth game, but the Bucks held on to win 125-121 over the Spurs in San Antonio. Giannis against 7'4" Victor Wembanyama. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
That was a fun game. That was a fun game to coach, fun game to watch. You know, two of the most unique, talented, you know, they're very versatile players, but we just got to continue and get ready for Houston.
The Bucks play the Rockets tomorrow night. NFL, Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields on what a win in Green Bay Sunday would mean to him.
It'd mean a lot to the fans, the city. I think it'd be great. We know that Green Bay's playing for a lot at stake. They're playing for a playoff spot right now. So I think, you know, it'd be a great feeling to end the season off with a win in Lambeau.
If the Packers win, they're in the playoffs. Elton Jenkins.
We just got to keep doing what we've been doing. Don't change anything. Just harp on the details and just play with a lot of effort.
That's Packers left guard Elton Jenkins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few flurries and lows in the upper 20s. More clouds around for tomorrow, again, flurries and snow showers possible, high in the mid-30s. Snow wraps up tomorrow night, partly sunny in upper 20s Sunday. Another chance for snow returns to the area by Monday. Current temp is 30.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who thinks chickens dream of one day being pot pies, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome back to Nightlight for hour number two. I am Pete Schwabba. We are broadcasting live from City Deck Landing in downtown Green Bay at our WGBW studios. I got another text. I have to remind people what the question is, Conrad. Where is our question tonight? Oh, here we go. On a scale of 1 to 10, how creeped out are you when Andy Reid asks for Patrick Mahomes' nuggies in that State Farm commercial? Here's what one person said. Andy Reid is just creepy with or without nuggets. We will not do a deep dive into that answer. But you can text us and let us know, 920-264-0606, or text us on the Civic Media app. My guest right now is Ben Reiser. He's the director of operations for the Wisconsin Film Festival and the programmer for Cinematheque at UW-Madison. So, Ben, let's get into your list. You made a top 23 of 23, and you put it in alphabetical order.
That's how we do. Okay. In Madison.
I like it. Do you have a top three of those 23 films or top five?
Oh, that's, you're going to put me on the spot there. Yikes.
You're a think on your feet kind of guy. Come on.
Okay. Yeah. I can talk about the films that I find myself recommending the most to people. Like, these are the films that I've said to numerous people, anyone from my mom to my wife, to my kids, to random people I bump into in the street or on campus. I say, have you seen this? And if you haven't, you should. So going alphabetically, the first one on my list that I think I've done this for is Anatomy of a Fall. Did you see this movie, Pete?
I'm behind because of this show mostly, but it's taken a lot of my time. But I am behind. I plan on catching up, but I've heard a lot of people talking about that movie.
Fantastic. French film, although a lot of it is in English, which is okay. Nice for us Wisconsinites who don't want to read subtitles for the entire length of the movie.
I just saw Godzilla. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's on my list too.
Yeah.
But Anatomy of a Fall is kind of like a courtroom drama, but there's a lot of activity outside the courtroom. And it's sort of like a corrective to those Joe Esterhaus courtroom dramas of the 80s and 90s. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like Basic Instinct, and he had a million of them.
Showgirls.
And it was always sort of like at the very end, there's like a twist.
Yeah.
You know, you find out the person you didn't think did it actually did it, or vice versa. And what I like about Anatomy of a Fall is that's really not the main question in this movie. It's like, who cares about that? Like, that's the least interesting part of most of these courtroom mysteries. And they acknowledge, I think, that fact and just move on from there and create a really wonderful film that doesn't rely on a cheap twist ending or anything like that.
Very cool.
So that's one. As I scroll down this list, I got to say Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, I watched three times. I think two times in the movies and then one time at home.
Wow.
And I choked up every time. I love that whole trilogy, and I thought they really ended on with maybe the best of the three.
Wow, nice.
Have you seen that one?
I have not. I saw the first one and I laughed. And the wrestler is my favorite wrestler actor. David, help me out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the wrestler.
Dave, what's his
name? Batista.
Batista.
David Batista. Yeah, he's hilarious in it. But I haven't watched the other two. I'll give him a shot, though.
Take your time. So, you know, the second one's only been out for like 5 years.
I will admit I have trouble getting into those kind of movies. It's not to say I wouldn't enjoy them if I actually took the time. It's just like when I usually get the time, I do something else. But upon your recommendation, they're both going on the list. So that's good.
All right, let me give you two more.
Okay.
As I scan quickly through this list. Yeah. Or three more if I could. Well, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, another movie you're probably not into because it's another superhero thing. But this is animated, and I don't know if you saw the first of these animated Spider-Man films.
No, and I've taken a lot of heat for it.
You should catch up with both of them. They're both beautiful works of visual art. Even if you don't care anything about the story or the characters, you're just going to be blown away. You know, drop some acid or something before you go into the movie and you'll have a good time. Then a movie that I saw at the Chicago International Film Festival in the fall that has not come to Wisconsin and had an actual premiere, and I'm hoping maybe we can show it at this year's Wisconsin Film Festival, is a German film called Teacher's Lounge, which is takes place entirely in a German elementary school. But it is so suspenseful and so well acted and so well written. I just, as soon as it was over, I wanted to watch it again. It was a really exciting time at the movies. And I believe that it's up. It will be. I think it's on the short list for like best. I think they call them international features. They used to call them best foreign features at the Oscar Awards. Now they've moved on to international. I believe it's Germany's official entry. I don't know if it made the, I don't know. Had the Oscars been announced yet? I don't think so.
Later this month. I want to say January 24th, but I'm not 100% sure. You know what's interesting?
So look for Teacher's Lounge to be nominated and then maybe it'll get a release.
Teacher's Lounge got on Rotten Tomatoes, critics, almost 100%. Audience, 25%. I'm fascinated when I see reviews like that. Like the audience was just either horrified or it was too edgy of an ending or something. But that alone will make me see that film and the good reviews too.
Yeah. It also tells you all you need to know about the Rotten Tomatoes audience
and critics
and the internet in general.
Yeah, exactly.
And then let me plug a horror movie that I wish I had seen in the theater. I missed it in the theater, then caught up with it. I think it's on Shudder, which is part of the AMC Plus package. You know, who can keep up with all these streaming platforms? It's nonsense.
It's like 12
but
grand
this
a
movie,
month.
This movie, a Spanish language sort of exorcism film, although that's probably oversimplification of what the plot is. It's called When Evil Lurks, the best, scariest, funniest, most original horror movie I've seen in a long time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Wow, you gave me some, you got those are your top five. Listen, I will say, okay, so Ben,
yeah,
I noticed Barbie was not on your list.
I wasn't a fan.
So you just
saw
the Heimer half of the summer blockbuster. Yeah. Did you not like it, or was it just not good enough to make your list?
I not only was it not good enough to make my list, I just flat out did not like it. I was hoping for, I mean, I heard such great things about Barbie and I saw it early enough that I wasn't overwhelmed by hype. I just was kind of bummed out. I thought it was not particularly clever. I expected more from Greta Gerwig.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Conrad. Was that Conrad who said yeah?
No, that was that me, was you, but I was... Oh. I mean, I'm a Greta Gerwig fan too, but I will say I saw the trailer, Ben, and I thought it was going to be like the Brady Bunch. Like I wanted to run to the theater to see this movie. And then I got there and I was like, kind of, it's not what I thought. But then I also thought I did like it though. At the end of the day, I really did. And it was fun to watch it awash in pink. I did like it. It was not what I was expecting. So I don't totally disagree with you, but
are you going to watch it again? Would you ever be interested enough in it to see it again?
Probably not. I need more.
There you go. That's my meter. That's what you got to do. Would I want to watch this movie again? And if the answer is no, screw it.
But you know what? I liked, as a horror film, I liked the film Barbarian.
Yes.
I don't ever want to see that again. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, really?
I understand your method, and that's usually what I go by too. Like, and there are some movies I've seen 20 times and I can't stop watching. And I think Collateral is one of them, like we've discussed.
But I also want to ask you about Fast X on your list. I saw the first two Fast and Furious movies. What can you tell someone who doesn't typically like those movies, but it did review pretty well, and a lot of people that don't typically like those movies that I know like them. What am I missing?
You haven't missed, by seeing the first two, you haven't missed anything.
Okay.
That series doesn't really kick off in a good way until the fourth, maybe even fifth one.
Oh my gosh.
At which point it becomes a whole other kind of movie. Those first two are these sort of like grittier, sort of like street dramas. By episode four or five in the Fast and Furious franchise, it becomes like a globetrotting James Bond, supervillains, cars defying gravity, all this amazing, campy, but really well done action sequence upon action sequence. Very clever, but doesn't take itself too seriously. It's nothing like those first two or three Fast and Furious movies. So there you go. You haven't really experienced what I appreciate about Fast and Furious.
No, I will, though, now. I respect your opinion immensely. So we have about two more minutes, Ben, and I have 18,000 more questions, so I'll try to get through them as fast as I can.
Well, you want to get into why don't we get into a movie that you say you saw? Why don't we talk about Godzilla?
Yeah,
Minus One?
Let's talk. There's a few of them on here. John Wick 4. Oh. I'm kind of like that with the what else did I see? I did see Oppenheimer, liked it a lot. I did want to ask you though, Holdovers. I'm going to see that probably this weekend. How does it compare to the other Alexander Payne films, in your opinion?
It's not my favorite Alexander Payne. I actually was a big fan of Downsizing. Was that the last one? That got terrible reviews went to see it.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. And this one is good. By the way, if you want and you want to free up your schedule, I'm here to tell you that Alexander Payne is coming to Madison the first or second week of April and bringing a 35mm print of The Holdovers with him and screening it with us at UW Cinematheque. So why don't you hold off, see it in 35 with the director answering your questions.
That is a great, great suggestion. All right, and then we got about a minute left. Yeah, Godzilla, let's talk, man. The next time you come back, I want to ask you why I don't like Ted Lasso. Just let that wrestle around in your head, Ben. We'll have this talk next time you're here. And that means you're coming back, I hope.
Oh, I would love to come back. I'd love to come to the studio. I'd love to experience fine dining in Green Bay. And
please, we'll pay your travel. I'll pay your travel.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
If you're willing, you're always welcome, buddy. Godzilla, it was good. I liked it a lot, I have to say.
Oh, you did?
Okay. I did, yeah. It was a great message,
For me, the Godzilla franchise, not the one that they're doing here in the States or wherever they're making the ones that have, like, Bryan Cranston and these other bozos in it. Those are terrible. But the ones that they're doing in Japan these days remind me of that Star Wars Rogue One, where somebody and what they're doing on Disney all the time there, somebody got the great idea to make all different kinds of movies and TV shows within the Star Wars universe. And I think that's what they're doing with Godzilla. Like, this is a wonderful sort of like sweeping melodrama that just happens to be a Godzilla film at the same time.
It was beautiful. It was a great film. And in 20 seconds, Ben, did you see Silent Night?
I did.
Thoughts quickly?
No good. I think John Woo has lost whatever luster he might have had at some point in his career.
I did, and I didn't like it. We'll talk about that next time too. Thanks so much. Get back to your mini series, Ben, that you're watching with your wife, and tell her I said hello. Thanks so much, Ben.
Thanks, Pete. See
All
you
right,
soon.
You got it. That's Ben Reiser. He's going to be back again soon. I love talking to Ben about movies. In just a couple minutes, we have a director in the studio talking about his new film, Pete Schwabe, Nightlight, Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota,
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back. Next time Ben is here, he's going to tell me why I don't like Ted Lasso. And I know I'm on an island, but we'll discuss that another time. We do have another text. Conrad, did we get a text about our question?
Did.
Okay, our question tonight, and I want our next guest to answer this too. On a scale of 1 to 10, how creeped out are you when Andy Reid asks for Patrick Mahomes' nuggies? Scale of 1 to 10. It scared me to my very core. Here's another text from the 608. I'll have to check out the film festival in Madison. Interesting, from Aunt Carla. Yeah, that is great. Film festival. I'm there every year and I'm biased, but I love it. And the Wisconsin Film Festival does a great job of choosing the films. They have great restorations. Their 35 millimeter prints they screen are phenomenal. The venues are great. I cannot recommend. And you're in Madison. It's a really fun, time. So definitely check it out. Carla from Baraboo. Hey, I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. And joining me here in the second hour in the studio, I'm very excited about this, is writer, director, editor, John Pata. He has a new film out called Black Mold, and he made the drive up from Oshkosh, John?
From Oshkosh.
To be here in the studio with me tonight. So this is a lot of fun for me. Welcome, John.
Thank you for having me, Pete.
Get this, all this equipment out of the way here so we can see each other. I watched Black Mold today.
Okay.
Did not laugh once.
Didn't?
I did not laugh. I learned quickly it was not a comedy. No, I'm kidding. I know your genre, but it was. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Tell us about the film. Tell us about Black Mold.
So Black Mold follows two photographers that go to abandoned locations to photograph them, which is something that I do in real life as well. And both of them are entering these locations kind of thinking about moments in their past and maybe some traumas or just some previous experiences that they're still struggling with. And in a building that they go to, they come across a squatter who is left to his own devices and is trying to protect himself and his family. And tensions just arise. And the film goes in some different places from there on out.
Kind of psychological places,
absolutely,
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was really cool.
It's not a blood and guts horror film.
Yeah.
It's definitely more about atmosphere and character and psychological, and the film is a representative of my own personal journey with mental health. So mental health,
oh wow,
is I don't want to say it's at the forefront of the film, but it's present. It definitely,
okay.
Yes,
totally see that. Yeah, I just want to say too, I love everything is on purpose when you make a film. Every shot is there's a plan, but I love how it opened. You've got all this activity.
Mm.
On this sunshiny block, it's like a Days of Yore scene. The mailman and guys delivering milk and kids on bikes and whatever it was,
yeah.
And that's the last of the sun. I think we see it has this. It takes this turn, but it's just so. I don't know. Can you talk about that? What you were thinking with that?
Yeah. So the film takes place in 1997, but then our main character Brooke, we get kind of her backstory through a series of their flashbacks, but they're also dream sequences that she's having throughout the film. And so I knew I wanted to start the film off with a dream. And actually there's a funeral scene that takes place about halfway through the film. That was the original opening.
Oh,
and then
wow. Really?
That was in the first script. And Adam Krause, who, you know, a good friend of mine, who created Gags the Clown.
Gags the Clown, sure.
I just had dinner with him before coming to this. He read the script and he said, I think you need to move this to the middle.
Brilliant.
And you need something else there. And we were on a walk in Riverside Cemetery in Appleton, where we often meet to just go for walks. and I was explaining to him what I was looking for. And I said, I want to start something that's very cheery. And then we just suddenly transition into a completely different world that makes you realize something's not right. And he said, well, what do you mean? And I was like, I don't know. Like, the camera's moving down the street and it's sunny. And then we go in the house and it's burnt and decrepit.
Yeah.
Like, oh. Right. So then I started developing it. But that shot, which is, it's sold as a oneer. It's about a minute and a half long. It's actually two shots that were shot 6 months apart from each other. So we had the exterior of the street, which was shot with the drone.
I was going to ask you that. It was up higher.
Yep. Okay, we start in the trees and then we kind of come down and we approach the house and we keep going to the house and the door opens and we're still moving in. And then we transition into the house, which was a set that was built and then burnt. Okay. And yeah, that was 6 months later. And then that was Steadicam. And so when that door opens is when I stitched it all together.
So where was the house? Was that in Oshkosh somewhere?
No, we actually shot the whole film in central Illinois. That house was in Champaign, Illinois. But we primarily shot in and around Rantoul, which is about 20 miles north of Champaign. Yeah,
sure. So did you shoot there for incentives or you just found a great location? What was the thought there?
Kind of both. Yeah. Okay. I am a very through and through Wisconsin person, and I want to make film in Wisconsin, but the reality of it is when you have producers and money on the line, the states around us have tax incentives, and it's hard to convince people to shoot here. And so, yes, the tax incentive in Illinois played a big part in it, but what is Franklin Hill in the film, where our characters end up and about half the film takes place at, that was actually a decommissioned Air Force base that is in Rantoul, Illinois.
Oh, wow.
And that's what brought us down there, was because I just thought an Air Force base would be like one building, but no, it was like a college campus. They had academic halls and dormitories and two hospitals. And
it's all vacant now.
Maybe like a third of it has been repurposed. But the rest of it has just been sitting there for decades. And so we didn't just have one building to choose from. We had five buildings at our disposal. So we just cherry picked the best of each building to then build this one location on screen. So Rantoul and that Air Force base was really the main reason that we went down there.
How cool is it for you? Like, obviously you're a very visual guy, you're a photographer too. And when you see a location like that and you have, it's like, is it like we have to use this or?
It was unreal.
Yeah.
It was completely unreal because I assumed we would find one location. In the script, Franklin Hill was written to just be a large forgotten facility. Could be, you know, a factory or a hospital or an asylum, whatever. I just want to find the right location.
Right.
And then I thought we would just find one building and I'd have to make a go of it. And then when I walked through one building, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, I can see the whole movie in here. Like, well, we got four more buildings for you. And then I go to another one and I was just like, holy crap.
Wow.
Okay. So yeah, it was, and especially because I do photograph abandoned buildings, it was awesome because it was the first time I've been in these buildings and I had permission to be there.
Yeah.
And I wasn't worried about the cops coming and getting me or
anything.
It wasn't
a sneak attack.
No sneak attacks. No, it was great.
That's so cool. So we have to take a break, but I want to ask you when we come back from the break. We got a few seconds here. On your film, it says a Tubi original. You said producers are financing it, and that's why you shot in LA. Did Tubi finance it?
No, Tubi purchased the film to put out for distribution.
Gotcha.
So, yes, it is a Tubi original.
Okay, they mean.
So they came on after the fact, yes.
Very cool. Okay, so I'm talking with John Pata. He is the writer-director of Black Mold, which you can watch on Tubi. The film just dropped a few weeks ago. It's brand new. I watched it today myself, and I don't know if We'll discuss this after the break, but if there's a Blair Witch element that I thought snuck in there, and maybe I'm just reading into it, but we'll ask that. I will ask John that when we come back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. The force from the beginning.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court will decide whether Colorado must put former President Trump on the primary ballot after disqualifying him, citing insurrection. CBS News Chief Legal Correspondent Jan Crawford.
I would not be surprised if they rule, perhaps unanimously, that the Colorado Supreme Court got it wrong, that courts should not be in the business of declaring someone ineligible to run for president.
During a campaign speech, President Biden says former President Trump wants to rewrite the facts about January 6th, University of Virginia political analyst Larry Sabato.
Democrats and independents need to see a president on fire if the president wants them to be on fire in his campaign. Biden was on fire.
Former Aurora, Colorado police officer Randy Rodema is sentenced to 14 months in jail for the 2019 death of Elijah McClain. McClain's mother saying,
"If you look at the body cameras, my son was murdered by evil forces in human bodies. This has always been about a spiritual war."
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two consultants hired to analyze new legislative maps for Wisconsin will be paid as much as $100,000 each in taxpayer money. Terms of their contracts were just made public. The state Supreme Court has ruled the old maps unconstitutional. Wisconsin state troopers are enlisting truckers and other commercial drivers to help fight human trafficking. The state patrol trains them to look out for warning signs potential victims may be sending out.
A lot of times these victims could be, you know, appearing fearful, submissive, timid in some cases. There might also be signs that their movement is, or at the very least has been, controlled.
Trooper Sean Bryan of the State Patrol. January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few flurries and lows in the upper 20s. More clouds around for tomorrow. Again, flurries and snow showers possible. High in the mid-30s. Snow wraps up tomorrow night. Partly sunny and upper 20s Sunday. Another chance for snow returns to the area by Monday. Current temp is 30.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
welcome back to Nightlight. All right, we got a fresh text here on our question tonight. On a scale of 1 to 10, how creeped out are you when Andy Reid asks for one of Patrick Mahomes' nuggies? And as Mike Clemens says, does his creepy finger walk across the table? That is beyond creepy. I don't get it, but here's this is from the 920. My thoughts on the State Farm commercial is a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10 because Mahomes, autocorrect, I'm sure, makes a lot more money than Coach Reid. The least Mahomes could do is give him 1 of his nuggies. Well, that's a fair point. That's Steve from Little Torch Key. Am I saying that right? Does that
you
sound
are.
Familiar?
I'm not sure. Yeah, you are. You're saying it right.
Okay. How do you know that, Conrad?
That's my dad.
Oh, for God's sake. Where's Little Torch Key? Oh, is that in the Key West?
Yeah, it's close to Key West.
That's pretty cool. And I think, I'm glad you're still here, Conrad, by the way. I always think Conrad is going to take a powder halfway through the show and just say, this is not for me anymore. Thank you, Conrad's dad. Wow, that's pretty cool. Thanks for staying up late. It's extra late in Key West. So, okay. My guest right now is John Pata. He's a writer, director, and editor. His film is called Black Mold. You can watch it on Tubi. It's a horror film. And before the break, John, I mentioned Blair Witch. I liked Blair Witch, but the end was horrible. When they went in that building,
mm-hmm.
That's the creepiest part. Very scary. Yeah. And I left the theater saying to myself, whatever. And then my brother-in-law asked me to get him a beer from my mother-in-law's basement, which I realized exactly like the last scene. Yes. We got scared to the bejesus. So your film is almost like you found that location and shot an entire film there. Like the whole location is creepy.
Mm-hmm.
That's by design, I assume.
Well, some people say creepy. I think it's beautiful. That's why I photograph these buildings. Yeah. I truly find such beauty in them. And of course, you could go look at the mountains and see like a beautiful sky behind it and water in front of it with all the trees. And that's a lovely scene. But when you go into these buildings and there's all the texture and the paint is peeling and you're getting a glimpse at something familiar, but you don't see this every day.
Yeah.
I think it's so pretty. So, yeah, sure. Wow. They're inherently kind of creepy. And a lot of the cast and crew definitely were a little uncomfortable walking into these locations for the first time. But I walk into those places, and that's why I grab my camera, because I just love them.
So you're photographing these creepy ex-asylums, and you think they're pretty. And what do you think of the bowl of fruit on the table that people photograph? That's not pretty to you.
Well, you know, it can be. It can
different
be.
Kind of
absolutely.
Beauty.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
No, spoken like a true director. So there's a producer side to you and a writer-director side, and they kind of are adversarial at times when you're thinking about money and where to shoot. And then you have the creative side of you that just wants to paint this canvas with mm-hmm. your film. What side is more, I assume it's the creative side, but how do you negotiate that? Do you have to make concessions to yourself and your producers when you're shooting these films?
There's always concessions. Yeah. And sometimes those concessions come up out of necessity because you're not expecting to shoot in the snow. And then all of a sudden,
How about that?
Yeah, you get a foot of snow, which happened on a previous project of mine.
Oh,
and,
really?
And yeah, so there's always concessions. And yes, as a creative, you never want to cheapen your vision.
Right.
But the reality of it is, you always have to. There's always a reason. It might not even be money. It might be schedule, or it might be time, or it might be weather, or it might be the location, because the location says like, oh, yeah, you were going to be here till midnight. Well, we need you out by 8 o'clock. And, so you just filmmaking is nothing but troubleshooting from day one.
One problem after the other.
It really is.
That's kind of the fun of it in a way.
Yeah.
If not, it makes you want to pull your hair out sometimes. But
Of course. Yeah. Of course. And what I have found after so many projects is the secret to it all is just to surround yourself with the best humans possible.
Yeah.
When you have a cast and crew that you can wholeheartedly trust and you know they not just have your back, but they have the project's backed and each other's back, then whatever. You'll face whatever you have to do.
How do you navigate that? You live in Wisconsin. You make your home in Oshkosh. Mm-hmm. That is not a typical filmmaker location. So when you do have a show and you've got to put a crew together, do they have to leave their day jobs? Or is there a full-time crew you can pull up from Chicago or Milwaukee or something? How does that work?
I've been working with primarily the same crew for the last 11 years. We shot a short film of mine called Pity. We shot that in 2013 and it came out in 2014. But that was the first time I worked with director of photography, Robert Patrick Stern, production designer, Sarah Sharp, composer Nicholas Ehlert, who's based out of Milwaukee. And we hit it off really, really well. And it was that same group that I met on another shoot that I was a second AD in, a second assistant director, that shot in Waukegan, Illinois. That's where I met Rob and Sarah and Jim Peterson, who does DIT and was a grip at the time. And we just, we found a way to just kind of harmonize the way that we worked. And so we've been working together ever since. And we've gone to projects in Kansas City, a lot in Illinois, because that's where many of them are based, up in Wisconsin. They were the crew that we shot Gags a Clown with, as well with locals like DJ Cast, who's from Green Bay, who's our director of photography on that. But yeah, we just, wherever we can find people, we have some crew members from Minneapolis, because it's just people that we like, we get along with, we know how they work, and we trust. And
yeah,
and it is, it's the term film family gets thrown around so much in various projects, but that's why we've been working together for 11 years, because we've just found the right people.
That's so crazy. And it really is. It's so intense for such a short period of time. It's like a bonding thing. Like, it's hard to explain.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you, before I ask you some more technical stuff, you mentioned the funeral home scene. That, to me, that's my favorite scene in the film. And I don't want to do any spoiler alerts here,
sure,
but like, it was so sweet. It started off so sweet.
Yeah.
And then it's so horrifying. And I literally was like, you know, because that's every child that lost a parent has this, oh my gosh, I can still hug you. And it's just awful. I was mad at you when I was watching. So does being an editor, you have a lot of editing credits on your IMDb page. Does that help the writing process? And does the writing process help the editing process?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. I do think it, because I have, anything I've directed, I have also written and edited. And so to me, when I'm writing, I'm thinking about the edit.
Yeah.
And I'm already seeing how that's coming together. And then when I'm directing, yes, of course, I'm thinking about the edit as well. But then I also am tapping into the writer's side at all times. So the three of them, they're harmonious together, or they're synonymous with each other. I don't always write, direct, and edit. Like for Gags the Clown, I was a co-writer, a producer and an editor on The Stylist. That was a film I was just the editor on. Frogman, that's another film that's hitting festivals now. I was just the editor on that. But when it comes to my writing, I usually do try to do all three.
So what do you tell people? Like, because one of the weird things about moving back to Wisconsin for me was when I tell people what I do, they just kind of stare at you.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, it's not the norm. And when you live in LA or New York or wherever, it's like, okay, yeah, I get that. You know, that's what I do, or that's what, but how do you, on the other side of that, are people you meet, I'm sure, who are curious, how do I get into this? I like acting. I have a movie in my head. I want to write it. How do people ask you that? And what do you tell them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. People ask me that all the time. And what I often say is, it depends on what you want to do with it. I've never been an LA person. I have to go there. I've been there plenty of times.
Sure.
I don't want to work in the studio system. That's never been attractive to me. I like to tell the stories that I'm passionate and excited about, and I want to tell them in the way that myself and my creatives that I work with want to tell them. So for me, it's always been a matter of being independent.
Right.
And so that's why I can do it in Wisconsin, because if I wanted to be directing for Universal, that's not going to happen if I'm living in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Right.
But I get to tell the stories that I want the way I want to, with the people that I like
with
to
no
do it with.
Horrible notes or.
And of course, you know, there's going to be notes and there's going to be concessions and all of that. So that's what I go. I've spoken at Film Society at UW Oshkosh quite often. And that's what, you know, they always say, why are you still in Oshkosh? And I was like, because I want to be. And I understand, of course, there's going to be limitations that come with that. But the reality of it is, growing up here, I've seen so many people leave the area, whether that is Northeast Wisconsin or all of the Wisconsin, because they are trying to pursue something. And I got kind of tired of just seeing all these people leave.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I want to do it here.
I want to live here. Yeah.
And I grew up in the punk rock scene and got very accustomed to the do-it-yourself mentality.
Nice.
And so it was always just, well, if we're going to do this, let's just do it.
Yeah.
I didn't come from a film background. I didn't go to school.
I was just
going to
ask you if you went to film.
No, okay. I went to school for graphic design. Graphic design is my background. I've loved film my whole life. And then I made backyard movies with my best friend growing up. When I was a senior in my graphic design program, I decided to make a short film with my friends for $700. And that's the reason Black Mold exists. That was in 2006. We shot it. And just taking that to horror conventions and small film festivals, I met other people. And then they got involved in the next project. And then from that project, I met more people. And I met more people. And so sometimes I haven't even really stopped to think, like, do I want to stay here or do I need to relocate? It's just, I'm just doing it.
As long as you can keep making movies.
Yep. And it's working. You know, it's working for now. And especially because I do a lot of post-production work. You can do that anywhere at this point. And it's a lot cheaper living in Wisconsin than it is L.A. or New York.
Absolutely. John Pata is with me in the studio. He is the writer-director of Black Mold, which you can watch tonight on Tubi, after this interview, of course. So, all right, my next question is, how hard is it to find, like, you had a pretty good cast in Black Mold. Where did you find the actors? Are they local hires, or do you search far and wide for good acting talent?
I always do auditions, and it's just no matter where they live, where they come from, if they're the right person for the part, then they get it. So Agnes Albright, who plays Brooke Conrad, the lead in the film, she's an LA-based actor.
Okay.
You know, she's been in...
she looks really familiar.
She was in True Detective. She was in three episodes of True Detective season two. She was in Ballers with The Rock.
Okay.
And she's actually in a Little Caesars commercial that played during the Super Bowl last year. So she does a fair amount of stuff. But she got brought to our attention by our assistant director, Michelle McGraw, who had worked with her previously and said, I think Agnes would be great for this. So she auditioned. And then Jeremy Holm, who plays the man upstairs in the film, he was on House of Cards, the Netflix show, and Mr. Robot. I worked with him on another project called Brooklyn 45, which was a Shudder original. And a lot of the crew was working on that with him and really liked him. And Rob Stern, my director of photography, was shooting that. And he said, I want you to think of Jeremy for this role. And that worked out. But then Andrew Bales, who plays Tanner, Chicago-based actor, he just auditioned. And, you know, I looked at probably 70, 80 tapes for the role of Tanner. And he was the one that got the part.
Isn't that great when that clicks? You just watch. Yeah. It's like, okay, we found him.
Well, you mentioned the funeral scene. Maisie Murlock, she's an actor. Originally from Waukegan, now moved out to L.A., but she plays young Brooke, and I saw 5 seconds of her audition.
She was really
and I was
good.
Like, oh, this is it.
Oh my gosh.
This is it.
Yeah, she was great. So who are your influences, John, in that genre? Who did you grow up watching where you're like, you felt like you kind of wanted to take little elements?
Well, I saw Jaws when I was 6, and I found out about the shark not working. My parents explained that to me, and that was my introduction to the idea that there was a life behind the camera.
Yeah.
And so, of course, Spielberg. You know, Spielberg, definitely one of them. When I was 10, I saw The Evil Dead, the original Evil Dead, which was a Sam Raimi movie.
Sure.
And that followed by Dead Alive by Peter Jackson, who everyone knows because he made Lord of the Rings. Yeah. He started making no-budget horror movies, and my 10-year-old brain didn't know this at the time, but what I was seeing was people that had no film background that just wanted to make movies found a way to do it.
Yeah.
So those, Sam Raimi, Peter Jackson, and then Robert Rodriguez wrote a book called Rebel Without a Crew that is his diary from when he was in a drug testing facility to raise money to make his first movie,
El Mariachi. Yeah.
But John Carpenter. John Carpenter's, you know, one of my favorite directors.
That's
and
great.
To this day, I still am inspired by him.
We have to do another quick break, and then we're going to come back with our third installment, our little mini-series here with local writer-director John Pata, a proud Wisconsinite. And I'm going to ask you about what's up with Gags, the clown. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
And then at some point, I got to tell you my Sam Raimi story. So this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Don't go anywhere. Coming up next, more John Pata on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Everyone have a good time.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. We are on the home stretch here on this Friday night. Texter from the 608 says, I so agree, so much talent in Wisconsin. So there you go. Testament to what John was saying before. Yeah. So you mentioned that you worked on Gags the Clown. Such a cool story with all the national press, the photos got, and then Adam made the short, Adam Krause.
Correct.
Your buddy. And then you came on and you guys did the feature together. So what's going on with that film and where can people see that?
That film currently, I know it's on Tubi as well.
Okay.
And I believe it might be on Amazon Prime, but okay. It got released through Doppelganger Films, which is a joint partnership between Music Box Films out of Chicago and Bloody Disgusting, which is a huge horror movie website. So there are Blu-rays and DVDs available for it as well.
Nice. That was a cool, you guys did a really good job of capturing some parts of Green Bay. I never knew, you know, when you think of Green Bay, as a guy who's never lived here, you think of the stadium, downtown, you know, but he found some, or you guys both found some really cool locations in that film. So I recommend that too. If you're listening and you want another good horror film, check out Black Mold and then Gags the Clown. That one turned out. Are you guys happy with the way it turned out?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And it was cool to shoot it here, too, because Adam lives in Green Bay, and, you know, he always wanted to keep it in Green Bay.
Yeah.
So it was just great to, you know, to be able to help him achieve what he wanted.
I think you guys need to film another movie in Marinette.
Got it.
I shot one there 20 years ago, and I thought, this is the last movie I'll ever be in. In Marinette, my buddy Mike McGuire, who lives out in L.A., came back. He's from there. He came back there to make a film, too.
Oh.
Like, 6 years ago, I'm like, whoa, I'm acting in another movie in Marinette. All right. So it's kind of like the movie hub of Northeast Wisconsin.
Yes, if it I sounds may. Like it.
Let's check just, it out.
Let's dub it that right now.
So what is your favorite location to shoot at in Wisconsin? There's so many amazing, there's so much natural beauty. But you can also get really cool urban shots in Wisconsin, too. Really, if the incentives ever did come back here, I do feel like people would choose to shoot their films here.
Oh, I agree completely. And I am honestly, like, shooting in a place like Marinette would be great because I love small town stories.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is because we see so many movies that are set in New York or L.A. or Atlanta or just, you know, any of the large metro hubs, which are wonderful, don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
that's not what life looks like in Wisconsin, you know.
Right.
And so I'm just so interested in telling stories that are relatable to a lot of the country that don't live in the large cities.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Oshkosh has a great, what I like about Oshkosh as opposed to other Fox Valley cities, it looks a little older.
Yes.
And it looks more, I don't know, it's just got its own thing. It's like got a lot of, it's nice that it's on the lake, but the downtown looks a little old. And that's why I think they were able to make Dillinger work there, right?
Yes, because, yeah, Public Enemy shot multiple locations in Oshkosh. And
Public Enemies, not Dillinger.
Yep.
That's a different movie.
Yeah.
So where is your favorite place to shoot? Would it be Oshkosh?
As much as I hate to say this, I haven't shot a whole lot in Wisconsin.
Oh,
you know, a lot of projects have taken me out of the state, and part of it again is that tax incentive.
Yeah,
when the Midwest has tax incentives and you don't, you get pulled a lot of
that's
different
tough.
Places. It is.
Yeah,
it really is.
So, can you talk a little bit about one of the things I liked in Black Mold too? It's hard to shoot at night if you're not, like, I'm not a technical guy, so I never understood that. I have nothing but respect for lighting people. You have shots in black mold that are so great because they look night. They look kind of scary, but you can see. How is that? Is that hard to get shots like that where it has to be night, but you don't want it to be too bright, but you got to show people what's going on? Are those hard to light?
Well, that's a great question for our gaffer and our G&E teams. But yeah, and one of the big things, so in Black Mold, we called it the den, but it is a location that takes place a lot where the man upstairs has his throne and his fire. That was a set that we built. And so that allowed us to light it exactly how we needed to.
Wow,
so that was a really integral part into this film, because a lot of the film does take place in that room and at night, and that's where the climax happens. And so yeah, to have total control, and especially because we had a rainstorm and thunder and lightning and all of that, we needed that controlled.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Good point. Speaking of problem solving. So, all right, I have one more question here, and then I want to find out, oh, we're running out of time too. Actually, I'll just go. All right. Enough about Black Mold. Tell people where they can see it. Tell people where they can see Gags before we get out of here.
Black Mold, Tubi Original, available on Tubi. We are putting together a very limited theatrical run that will be happening in February and March. We'll be bringing the film to Wisconsin for a few cities. Probably won't be till maybe April-ish or so, but we'll be doing some theatrical stuff. So if you don't want to see it on Tubi, you have a chance theatrical, and there will be a physical Blu-ray release that will have tons of special features that will be coming out this spring as well.
Well, it's got a great cast. It looks beautiful. I highly recommend it. And I have one more question for you, John, because what we do on this show is talk about what we're watching. And we just have an exchange of ideas here. What are you watching? What does John Pata go home and watch at night?
Honestly, I've been watching the last season of Riverdale.
Oh, nice.
I've been enjoying that show for what it is ever since it came out, and I'm finally catching up on it.
You know, as a kid who liked Archie comics when I was younger, I read it, and I'm like, oh, this is great, Riverdale. And I watch, I'm like, this is not the Archie.
That is not the Riverdale, no.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, season one is pretty much the teen version of Twin Peaks.
Yeah,
and then the Zodiac killer comes in on the second season, and it goes many different places.
Oh, that's great.
It's enjoyable trash for me.
Well, that's excellent. What's next? You got another project lined up?
Well, I'll be focusing on just this theatrical run and getting these special features together for Black Mold. And, of course, I have multiple scripts I've written, and I have some more I'm going to write. But I've been working on Black Mold for almost 3.5 years now, so I'm ready for
something new.
Ready for a little break, you know?
Get
ready
to it, son. Yeah. All right. This is great. This is John Pata joined me here, and it was great to have you, John. Come back soon, and you don't have to wait till you make another movie. Come back. We'll talk anyway. It's
absolutely
fun.
I'd love to.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You got it. All right. So a couple more texts here on our question, which the question is so long, I can't even remember. I have to keep reading it. On a scale of 1 to 10, how creeped out are you when Andy Reid asks for one of Patrick Mahomes' nuggies? This is Jim from Appleton. He says, Nuggies gets 6.5. The one that really bothers me is the MVB one in Andy Reid's office. That's a bad one too, Conrad.
Yeah, that's a terrible one as well.
We forgot about that one. And then here's from the 608. Carla says, Devil's Lake, Baraboo location. That's a good one. Beautiful stuff down there. So, all right. So we're going to, we have some clips. We'll move those to Monday, Conrad. This has been a great show. I want to thank Ben Reiser and Terry Barr and John Pata, my guests. Thank you, everybody, for the texts. Great fun as always here on Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News.